stores. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you home. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. You all sound great.
Amen.
Yeah.
darkest night. Freedom songs found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down when I hear that trumpet sound. I'm gonna rise up out of the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Fear is a liar with a smooth and velvet tongue. Fear is a tyrant, he's always telling me to run. Love is resurrection, love is a trumpet sound. Love is my weapon, I'm gonna lay my giants down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. that trumpet sound. I'm gonna rise up out of the ground, where there is no grave. Gonna hold my body down. Oh no, oh no, there ain't no grave. Oh no, oh no, there ain't no grave. And there was a battle, war between death and life, and there on the tree the Lamb of God was crucified, and he went on down to hell, and he took back every key, and he rose up as a lion, and he said he'd all the captives trumpet sound. Oh, he rose up out of the ground. Well, there is no grave that could hold his body down. Oh no, oh no, there ain't no good part. You walked out of the grave I walk into. You walked out of the grave I walk into. You walked out of the grave I walk into. If you walked out of the grave I walk into. Something to get excited about.
Incredible to stand in your presence this morning. We are indeed in awe of who you are. We are so blessed, God, so blessed. Lord, despite what's going on in the world around us, despite all the circumstances, we are blessed people because we can call on the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings.
Amen.
God, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy and your care for each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you that you watch over us, that you protect us, that you use us for your glory and your honor. Lord, I pray that throughout this day, your Holy Spirit would be present and in control and that you would be here walking among us. It doesn't matter what we've planned. It doesn't matter what we want to do. What matters is allowing you to move and work. And we pray to that extent this morning, Lord. God, be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. I encourage you to wave and say hello to your neighbor. Then you may take your seats. Good morning, everybody. We are so glad that you are here with us. Whether you're live in person or live online, we welcome you this morning. We're glad that you chose to be a part of the service this morning. You know, I got to be honest, I debated for a couple minutes about telling you to greet each other. I'm like, we'll never get them back. We'll be here till 3 o'clock trying to rein everybody back in. We'll have more time for visiting later, but I do so appreciate you making it a priority to join us for this special celebration Sunday today. Gentlemen, if I can ask you to come up, please. It is time for our morning tithes and offerings.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lord, again, we thank you and we praise you for your blessings. Lord, you have met the needs of this ministry for 40 plus years now, Lord, and we are so grateful for that. Lord, we come this morning with glad and joyful hearts to give back to you as your word tells us to. Lord, take these tithes and offerings, use them for your glory and honor. Bless, gift, and giver. In Jesus' name, amen. God is so good. If you'll allow me just a few minutes to share a couple of announcements with you. Now we have a couple other people that are going to come up and get some things ready behind me, and I'll introduce them in a minute if you don't know who they are. But let me share just a couple of things with you this morning. If you've been watching our announcements scroll by before service, you saw a lot of different things up there. But I have something exciting that I want to share with you this morning. We have a couple of new ministries that we're announcing this morning. Thought this would be a perfect time to announce them. Amen. One of them is called OWL, O-W-L, Outreach with Love. And it's simply going to be a coordination ministry of helping those that have a special need or something comes up in their life that they need a little extra help with. We have a coordinator. We're going to start putting some details together on this, and we'll let you know a little bit more about it in the next few weeks, but I'm excited that we're doing that. And the second thing that we have coming up is what we're calling Gen J, or Generation Jesus. And this is for all of our early 20, 30-year-old couples. Whether you're married or engaged, it's a couples ministry that's going to be starting. They're going to be doing all kinds of different things, hiking and movies. And one of the first things we have planned at the end of August is a night of cooking instructions. Many of you that come to our church know Rena and Jose have Batavia Diner, and they have volunteered to be the instructors for the evening. So they are going to be teaching our young couples some cooking tricks. So those of you that are in that young 20, early couple, engaged category, make sure you make some notes on your calendars, and there's a lot more of that that's going to be coming in the future. Of course, all of our other ministries as well, our Men and Ladies Bible Study, our Kids for Christ ministry, all the weekly ministries that we have are all on our website. You can check it out there at sanctuaryag.com. This coming Thursday, I believe it is, the 30th, is our next American Red Cross blood drive. We have partnered up with the American Red Cross, and every 6 weeks or so, we do a blood drive here at the church. There are still some slots available. If anybody is interested in giving blood, you can get online on their website, and you can sign up to give blood through the American Red Cross. Tuesday night, I also forgot to mention the teens and young adults, 6:30 at the Hills House. They're having another badminton week from what I understand, so make sure you plug that into your day timer. And there's a lot of other things. I don't want to spend a great deal of time this morning going every detail. Check out the website, please, and you'll get a lot more information there. There's one more ministry I want to talk about because it relates to those that are standing behind me. He doesn't have a clue. And I know I'm going to get the timeline wrong, but probably 15, 18 years ago, Pastor Ben started a ministry at this church called Laundry Love. And that ministry is still going strong. In fact, it has expanded since he started it. Today, we do, twice a month, we go down to the local laundromat and we pay for people to do their laundry. You would be amazed at how God ministers through dirty laundry. It is incredible. So, first of all, I'll thank Pastor Ben for starting that ministry so long ago. And I'll thank all of you that have been involved in that ministry over the years, because it cannot run by itself. It takes a lot of people, a lot of work, feeding those quarters and talking to people, and it is an incredible ministry. It truly is. So I already mentioned Pastor Ben. Pastor Ben was a youth pastor here at our church many years ago. He came and led our youth for years. Some of you out there today who aren't youth anymore were under his teaching. And while he was here, God saw it fit to bring him a wife. So now I'll date myself. Emily was in my youth ministry when I led youth ministry. And now they have a family of their own, and Pastor Ben and Emily lead a church in Indiana, and we invited them to come back and share with you this morning.
Thank you. So we're going to sing a song this morning called My Jesus. It's a very popular song, so I just invite you to sing along with us. There's one part where we're going to make you clap, and that's not going to be a problem, judging on worship this morning, which was awesome. Oh, it's so good to worship with you this morning.
I got slightly distracted, sorry. And then I forgot where we were in the order, so, you know. Where's my notes? There they are, okay. If you'll indulge me for just a moment, I just want to share a couple of quick things with you this morning. God has done some amazing things in and through this church, this ministry, for a little over 40 years now. We actually turned 40 back in January. We were talking about it this morning. It was the coldest day on record, maybe ever. It was like 20 or 30 degrees below zero without the wind chill. It was unreal. But that's when the church was birthed. That's when the church started, 40 years ago. And since then, we thought this might be neat. I don't have all the specifics. I don't have all the details. But we thought it might be neat just to share with you a tiny glimpse of what God has done over the last 40 years. We have had all kinds of different ministries that have been, you know, for a time and a season, right? We've had a clothes closet that we used for years and years until COVID gave us a little setback. But we are looking at potentially doing something like a clothes closet again. More information on that to come as time goes on. But we've had men and ladies ministries. We've had what we called a carpenter's crew at one point. They went out and helped people build or fix stuff. We've gone to fine arts festivals. We've gone on missions trips. Both the kids and the adults have gone out into the missions field. We have sent people from this body to go into missions work and to devote their time to the Lord through missions. We've done puppet ministry. We've done human video ministries. We've done an amazing amount of women's ministries and men's. We've had showcases, Christmas showcases here that would just blow your mind. The ministry that's involved in those has been incredible over the years. I asked Debbie, our church secretary, to give me a few numbers, and just from what we could even count, from the history that we have, we've had somewhere between 80 and 100 different baby dedications. We've had well over a couple hundred salvations, first time giving their life to the Lord. Amen. Hundreds of baptisms and people making that step of faith. And then we started thinking about it. We have had literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in and out the doors of this ministry. They have come, they've moved away, they've been transferred, they've gone off to other places, but the Lord has used them here and now, wherever they're at. So hundreds of people have had some impact on us and have taken a piece of us and gone with them out into the world and done more ministry in other places. And this next one is, I find incredible. I find this incredible. From day one of this ministry, missions was always a big part of this church body. We give to the Assemblies of God, different missionaries around the world. We give to local ministries. We have sent money ahead of adults as they go out on MAPS trips and do work. Kids we have supported going all kinds of places, Africa, Papua New Guinea, all kinds of places over the years in missions. And as we started putting some sort of number together, and this, folks, this is God. This is what God does. In the 40 years that we've supported missions and ministries, this church has given close to $1 million in missions. And let me just clarify, that's not a pat on the back for anybody here. That's a praise God. Look what God has done, and look where He can take us. Amen? It is my privilege this morning, and I truly mean it is a privilege this morning, to introduce to you all the founding pastor of our church, Pastor Paul and Carla Weiss. Come on up if you would. We were just talking before service about the impact that this ministry has had. What God birthed in their heart, and look at what he's done with it and where it's gone. And it is an incredible joy and blessing to have them back with us this morning. Give them your attention as they share with us the word this morning. Thank you, guys.
What can I say? Have a nice day. I don't think my mic's on, but I got a loud voice. Can you hear me? It is a joy for us to be here. And it is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it is according to his mercy he has saved us. And we stand, you know, to me, literally, where I've been around the world, 40 years later, I'm still on my feet.
Man. She still loves her husband. Thank you very much for that greeting. Thank you, Pastor Kurt, for welcoming us. It is truly an honor to be here to be able to preach on this 40th anniversary. Thank you. I just thank everybody that's here, but I want to especially thank those that have come and were part of us when we first started. We love you guys. Whoa, I'm going to lose my notes. And Pastor Kurt, how do you keep anything on this? You've got the biggest pulpit in the world. You ought to have seen the one we had at McKee Street. You got it back there yet? The rolling one? Holy cow. Wow. That's great.
Would you like me to bring it up for you?
And just thanks for all that you, for what this place has become. It's because of God, first of all, but it's because of you and your commitment to this church and your commitment to seeing God glorified in this place and in Batavia. I've got a million stories that I could share, and I don't know where to stop or start, so I'm going to stop. Carla would probably start, but you know, it's been interesting and it's been fun as Carla and I have kind of reminisced over the past years and what God has done and the people that we have been able to help and influence and see saved. And I can still remember, I got to share this one story, and McKee Street. And it was a Sunday night, and the Spirit of God moved. And there's the outer aisle on this side, and then the middle aisle, and then the other aisle over on the other right side. And I saw a young man kneeling in the aisle. Didn't make it up to the altar, just made it out of the pew. And people praying with him, and that night gave his heart to the Lord. And that was your pastor, Kurt. And God's done the rest. He did that and he did the rest also. But, you know, it's fun to look back and see the good times and see, you know, what God has done. But, you know, times aren't always easy. There are times when we feel like, God, what are you doing? Or we feel like we're tired or we're discouraged or we're ready to quit or ready to say, is this really worth it all? And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying with this verse in 1 Corinthians 15:58. And let me just read it. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord. And this is the Amplified version, so excuse the, it takes twice as long to read too. So always doing your best and doing more than is needed. Being continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion, in the Lord is not futile nor wasted. It is never without purpose. The NIV kind of makes it a little more succinct. It says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, and every time... If any of you guys that were with us when we were pastoring here, remember that I would always say, whenever you see a therefore, you ask, what's it there for? Of course. And this verse has its basis in the whole chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about the resurrection of Jesus. He talks about the resurrection of us. That there, and you know, if Paul could have put the paraphrase in there, he probably would have said, there ain't no body, there ain't no grave going to hold my body down. We sang that today, and that's part of what 1 Corinthians 15 is talking about. He's saying there's the reality of life after death, the reality of the fact that we're going to get a new body. And I say, amen, thank you, Jesus, for that one. The reality of the fact that there is more to life than what we see. And so in light of all of those things, Paul says, be steadfast. Because Jesus has risen, be immovable. Because Jesus, because there's more to life than what you see every day and what you go through every day, therefore, be continually aware that your labor is never, 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 never in vain. God desires to use our lives in that way. There's three parts here. Steadfast, immovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord. He says steadfast, which means steadily moving forward, and not letting up and not quitting. And that's what I have seen happen here in Batavia. This church is in existence for 40 years because you didn't give up. You didn't quit. You didn't cash it in. Because, why? Because the resurrection. Because Jesus rose. Because we have the promise of resurrection. And all of these things. He says, be immovable. Don't get knocked over by some sudden blows. Keep your balance. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And it affects different people in different ways. A lot of people, when you talk to them about Parkinson's, the first thing they think of is, well, you're not shaking that much. Because that's just one aspect of it. But one of the things that it affects me is my balance. And when you get knocked off balance easy, you fall. And Paul is saying to the church in Corinthians, keep your balance. Keep your balance. Don't get knocked down. Don't get pushed aside by every wind and wave that comes your way. But be firm. Be immovable. Keep your balance. Be steadfast. The thing that I really want to focus on this morning is the last part. Abounding in the work of the Lord. That means a lot. And a lot in the Greek is a Greek word for a lot. Abound. It overflows with. Fill your days with things that count for Christ. Because, you know, the Bible even says, if I give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, I will not lose my reward. That you know how cool that is? That we don't have to be a pastor, a preacher, a missionary, whatever, in order to have do works for God. You can give your neighbor a cup of cold water in Jesus' name and you will not lose your reward. Why do we know that? Because eternity is real. Because Jesus rose from the grave. Because we will rise from our grave. Because we will keep moving on and there is life after death. When we faint, when we come to the knowledge of those things, then we are able to continue to walk abounding in the work of the Lord.
The church in Yorkville, it was New Life Assembly of God. There was a couple that was living in Batavia, and they became a part of their church. And that couple had been praying in their home and wanting a church to start in Batavia. And the church caught that vision, and the church leadership took that vision, and they, as a church, began praying that God would do a work in Batavia. I want you to realize today that what you enjoy in this building, this land, this property, it was done and sacrificed and given from a people you don't know. For generations that would come. And they prayed, and God does nothing until it begins in prayer. And they prayed, and to the point that they invited us in August of 1981, they invited us to come and to be part of a church plant here in Batavia. And I was 25 years old, so you know how old I am today. And we came here and moved here in October of 1981. Jeff, your mayor, he was just got voted in that year. I can't believe he's still the mayor, but he is. Interest rate was 17%. If you are discouraged about the way things are going today, take heart. That doesn't matter to God. 17% interest rate. We rented a house for $500 a month, and I was scared to death. It was going to be the ministry center. We were going to live there. We didn't know what we were doing. And there we started, as the pastor told you, on we decided we'd start the new year, you know, January. And it became freezing weather.
We didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah, it does. And McWayne, it was a McWayne Elementary School that was on, Wilson? Anyway, we rented a room. The school was empty. And we rented, and they gave us the kindergarten room. You know, so the bathrooms, everything. The sinks are down here, the toilets. And we didn't know what we were doing. It got so cold, and I said to Paul, you know, what are we going to have church? Everything was closing. We didn't know who to contact, who would come or who wouldn't come. And we decided, well, just do it. We just went, did it. 13 people showed up. And there was a firefighter here in Batavia. He came with his family and he gave his heart to the Lord that morning, along with his 12-year-old son.
Hey, Carla, let me just say.
Oh, I know. You're going to interrupt every time.
It's the only way I can get in a word.
Okay.
So.
Go ahead.
I want to especially point out, you're going to do that? I didn't know. But anyway, that Sunday that we started, it was Carl and I, and Kathy, would you stand up, please? Kathy Anderson.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Katie, too. Katie was there.
Katie.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy.
Make sure Terry knows that we are grateful. Yeah. They were with us even on that cold January day. They came.
Yeah. We built one of our basis and one of our basic beliefs and of what we built on was we believed the word of God that said, where Jesus says, if I will be lifted up, I will draw.
That's right.
I will draw. Sometimes we think it's our program. Sometimes we think it's a personality. Sometimes we think it's the music. But he said, if we would lift him up,
that's right,
that he came and he died and he rose from the dead to save us from our sins, that if we lifted him up, he would draw people to himself. And that's what we did. We believed it and we did that. Paul mentioned Terry and Kathy. Terry and Kathy were attending. They were not the family that started the prayer meeting for Batavia, but Terry and Kathy were newly saved. And they were attending the Yorkville church. So when the church sent us out, they sent Terry and Kathy also. They came with us. Their family, I think they had four or five of them. There was a group. And they knew, they were new in the Lord, but they loved God. There was a fire in them. And they began to work with us. And Terry and Kathy had led Terry's mother, who they had been longtime residents of Batavia, they led her to the Lord. And we had gone and visited Goldie and her husband, and her husband was not interested in the gospel, let alone the church. He was, if I might say so, Kathy, he was an angry alcoholic who had made it very difficult for his family. But that year, Sherman got sick. And when he got sick, Terry and Goldie, they asked Paul if he would go visit him in the hospital. When Paul arrived at the hospital, there was just this angry tension in the room. And Paul knew this man didn't have much time. And he shared the gospel with him. And much to the delight of his family, this man prayed to ask Jesus to come into his life. And Paul said this, the whole atmosphere of the room changed, just a peace, a supernatural peace descended upon that room. Paul got called back a couple of days later because he was at the death's door. And with his family around, they prayed and they waited. And Paul said after a time, Sherman just lifted up both his hands. And he had a far-off look in his eyes and a peace
and he slipped into eternity. Paul was able to preach his sermon of assurance and confidence and comfort to the family of where he went to spend eternity. Goldie, she was in her 70s by then. She lived to 100, but she was in her 70s then. Me being 25, I thought she was elderly. I don't think she was that old now. You know? But she brought another friend. She brought a friend of hers. And this woman was elderly. She was in her late 70s or 80s. She gave her heart to the Lord. So we're going to have our first water baptism. It was in the fall, in October. And the temperature changed and it got really cold. And we were having it at Bill Phillips' house, the fireman's house. He had an above ground pool. And we got scared that if we baptized this older lady, she's going to get pneumonia and die, and the family's going to be upset with us.
And we didn't know what we were doing.
Paul goes to her, you know, and says, you know, we're really concerned, you know, it's really going to be cold. I'm getting baptized. She got baptized that night. She loved God so much. She so wanted God to fill her with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I remember I was coming through Aurora, and I stopped at her place. She lived in a little senior housing place by that time. And I'm just sitting with her. She had two little wingback chairs, you know, and a little table in between. And I'm just sitting over there, and we're just talking. And it's time for me to go, and we decided we're going to pray before we leave. And as we start praying, God baptizes her in the Holy Spirit, and she begins to pray in another language. And you're just like, oh, it was beautiful. As we continue to lift up Jesus, he began to draw people all from all over the Fox Valley area. And we saw God do supernatural things in the hearts and lives of people. And Jesus told Martha, when her brother died, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And as Kathy reminded me, we just believed. We believed and we saw the glory of God happen. And you know, I wanted to, for Joanne also, Joanne Johns. Kathy and them were there the first Sunday. Where's Joanne? Joanne, would you stand? Joanne and her family were with us also from the second service. She told me today, the reason we didn't come to the first service is because we're running late. And my husband said we don't go anywhere late. He was a godly man. Not that he wasn't late sometimes, but I'm just saying they were also with us from the very beginning. We believed. We believed as a church. And I want you to know your pastor can't do it alone. He has to have the people of the church and believe. We believe that he is the resurrection, the way, and the life. And that no one can come to him except through Jesus Christ.
So God's looking for a church that is steadfast, a church that's immovable, a church that is abounding in the work of the Lord. And Paul's telling the Corinthians in this portion of Scripture that there's going to be times that you're going to think everything you've done is worthless. It's not worth a thing. That it's all been done in... Why would he tell people, be this way, unless they were the opposite, right? And so here he's saying, you know, be careful, because you're going to start thinking that what I've done doesn't matter. It's in vain. That, you know, and he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord for your labor. There's a difference between work and labor. Labor is exhausting. Labor is deteriorating your spirit. Labor is something that is, well, laborious. But the work of the Lord is what he's calling on us to do. The resurrection and the victory that we have in Christ is real. If not, then we would be believing in vain. It's real, and if not, we would still be in sin. And if not, we'd all be, of most men, pitied. If not, why even sacrifice? It's interesting, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 throws in there, he said, why would I endanger myself with wild animals? I never thought of that, but okay. Why would I, and if the gospel is not real, if Jesus hasn't risen from the grave, if not, why put ourselves in danger? If not, then really our faith is in vain. So God intends that out of a response, the fact that Jesus is alive, that Jesus has come to this earth, the fact that he has died for every one of us, the fact that he took all of his sins on himself, the fact that he satisfied the demands that were needed for our salvation. Christ will come, the trumpet will sound, his mortal body, this mortal body will put on immortality, and this decomposing, decaying body will become imperishable. Death is swallowed up in victory. To die is to gain. Away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. Because of all of those things, be immovable, yes, abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what he is calling each one of us to do, continually abounding in the work of the Lord.
We left Batavia in June of 1988, and we left the city. We left, and we went, and as the pastor mentioned, one of the other pillars that we based the church on was the responsibility of every one of us to share the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was you did it either through giving and sacrifice, or you did it through going, you did it through speaking. We believe that very strongly and still do to this day, that it is the responsibility of anybody that calls themselves a Christian to be partakers of letting this world know who Jesus is. And so we went, we left, we felt called into missions. We left here, and we served about 34, well, just a few months short of 34 years in world missions. And this church, 34 years, financially invested in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ through the Weiss guys. Six months after we got to Guatemala, we had itinerated and thought we were going to Ecuador. 6 months through language school, they asked if we would consider Guatemala. We went there. They were still, had been in civil war for years. We went there. 6 months after we got there, we set up a tent. We rented some property, set up a tent, and we were going to plant this church. There was a young man that began to come just within a short period of time. He was single. He was 21 years old. He came on his bicycle. He was newly saved, and he had prayed and asked God to direct him to a church that was outside of the box. Well, we hardly knew much of the language, let alone the culture, so we were definitely outside of the box. And he said one of the things that he noticed and that attracted him was that when Paul would pray over the people, he would weep. And he said he had never seen a pastor weep. And so he said that caught his attention. I said, well, he really didn't know that Paul was crying of fear because he didn't know what he was doing. And
Amen.
But God gave us favor with this young man. His name was Romeo. Romeo had been... His father was alcoholic, abandoned the family, and so he and his mother and sister, they struggled to even survive. And he got his education, and when we met him, he was teaching a gym class in a private school and riding a bike. I remember he asked me to pray for him one time for a girlfriend. And when God answered that prayer, and we believe God answers those prayers, they came and we did their premarital marriage counseling. Paul participated in the wedding and in the ceremony. And Romeo, you know, through time, we were to turn over the church to other leadership. And Romeo stuck with the church. But he always kept in touch with us. And we ended up leaving Guatemala. We moved to Costa Rica. We were the area directors for the missionary body of Central America. So we traveled a lot. And anytime he found out we were coming into Guatemala, he wanted to have coffee with us. He wanted to meet with us. And about 17 years ago, he writes us and he tells us that he and his wife feel that God wants them to start a church. And this would be it's called Villa Nueva, is the name of the city, and that it would be considered a suburb of Guatemala City, that they were to start a church there. And Paul encouraged him and, you know, tried to connect him with people and did what he could to encourage them in the Lord, and they started this church. Well, in the meantime, we served as the area directors for 10 years for Central America. And we had resigned from that position, and we were exhausted. And we were knocking on heaven's door. God, what's the next step for us? What's the next move for us? Paul was very tired. By this time, we had probably been in missions 24 years. And we're not certain what we should do next. But we kind of have an inkling that maybe we should go back to Guatemala where we started and just be missionaries on the ground again. And so Paul went back to Guatemala just seeking the will of God. And when Romeo heard he was coming, he said, would you just please come to our church? And Paul did. And that morning, when Paul was so discouraged and uncertain, wondering, had we made any difference, especially in Guatemala? Had anything ever happened? Romeo stood up and he introduced Paul and he said, this is my spiritual father. This man has taught me and he showed me and he's helped me and he's been my friend. And he called Paul to the platform and he said, here, Brother Paul, is the church you dreamed about when you came to Guatemala years ago. And Paul said he stood at that platform and he couldn't help but begin to weep as he looked out at almost 1,000 people. And he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, your work is not in vain. Anybody who works for me, your work is never in vain. You know, Romeo and Myrna, that's his wife, they were in our house a couple of weeks ago. They value education because they lived, brought up in a country that they didn't have that access. And God honored them, gave them a scholarship from Columbia University in New York. They both got their doctorate in theology. And in their church, they began an extension school of Global University, which is of the Assemblies of God, which is an accredited long-distance program for education. And they've got about 50 studying right now in their church. And they came because Myrna now is the associate dean for Latin America for this Global University, and they were going to do some training and have a graduation. And they brought their daughter and son-in-law their son-in-law's Cuban, and I'm telling you, he could tell you some stories. And we did their premarital counseling. They figured they'd lasted 25 years. They wanted us to do their daughter and son. And so we did their premarital counseling, and they came, and he graduated with his degree in theology. And while they were here, they told us, God is still blessing our church. Even during COVID, when we had to shut down completely, all we had was services online, we've continued to grow. We now have 4 satellite churches that come out from our church. And we have an attendance of every Sunday of 7,000 people. Your missions dollars, you have a part of the DNA of that church in Guatemala. Our labor in the Lord is never in vain. He's always working.
Amen. You know, you will not always see the validity of the work that you've done. You won't always see it because we have laid for ourselves treasures in heaven. And so we don't always see what we'd like to see happen. I didn't in Guatemala, in the story that Carla mentioned, for years, I thought everything that I did there was worthless. Not worthless, but it just, not exactly, not much value. But there are times when God opens the door just a little bit for us to get a glimpse, to see what has taken place, what has really happened, or what is happening. But that won't always come. There are other times when we just need to stand firm upon the promise of God that your labor, what you have done, is not in vain. It has purpose. It has value. You may not see it. Others may not even see it. But God does. And that's the one that counts. Because there is a resurrection, because there is life after death, because there is more than what we see. Your labor is never, ever in vain. I've grown weary at times. You've probably grown weary at times. You've probably worked in maybe a ministry in the church and you think, what am I doing? It just seems like I'm spinning my wheels. And it just seems like labor. Not work, but labor. May God give you a fresh look at what you have done and what you are doing and what you will do. That your labor is not in vain. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you don't quit, if you don't give up. Give that cup of cold water in Jesus' name and lay up that treasure in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt. And in light of this, the resurrection, we're going to celebrate communion this morning. If the ushers could begin to pass out the emblems. God is in this place. And God is wanting to make a difference in your lives. We practice open communion. That is, you may not be a member of this church, but you're welcome to receive communion if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, if you're here this morning and you've never known what it means to have your life changed by the power of the gospel, I'm an ex-hippie from the 60s and 70s. Had hair down in the middle of my back. Carla says it's God's punishment now. But God got a hold of my life and He radically changed me. And how did He do that? He forgave me. He made me a new person. And if you're here this morning and you've never had that experience, you've never known what it means to have asked Jesus into your life as Savior and Lord, then today is the day. Today is the day where God wants to do something in your life, something supernatural, something that'll change your destiny forever. And while the communion things are, elements are being passed out, let's just bow our heads. Pay attention to the person if they're passing out to you, so okay. But if you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I need Jesus in my life. People have talked to me about Him and I've never made a commitment, but this morning I would like to commit my life to Jesus. I would like to ask Him into my life as Savior, as Lord. I'd like Him to forgive my sins this morning so that I could be a new person. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand quickly and put it down? Just want to pray with you if that's you. Anyone this morning? You see, the gospel is what changes lives. It's not coming to church. It's not trying to be a good person. But it's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that makes a difference. Maybe you're here this morning and you're part of this church or another church, but you feel this morning you're weary. Like, you know, I just don't know how much I can go on the way it is. And if that's you this morning, God wants to give you a fresh perspective on what's happening. Pastor Kerr? And if that's you this morning and you say, you know what, I need God to help me to get a fresh perspective on what's happening. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand? And we want to pray with you this morning. Thank you. You can put your hands down. If you would take the bread that's in your, remove that. It says, for I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Before you take the bread, Carla, would you just lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we recognize that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, and that his body was broken for us.
Yes.
That it is through what he did, God, that we have access to you. And we recognize today, God, the body of Christ that is in this room. God, may we be a people that loves the body of Christ.
Yes.
May you bind every spirit that wants to divide it. May you bind every spirit that wants to accuse it and confuse it. God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, oh God, we would be the disciples and they would know we are Christians by our love for one another, God. We take this remembering of what you did on the cross for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's take the bread together.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Paul goes on to say, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Before we take the cup, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I bow before you this morning. I pray for this church. I pray, Father, that you would continue to use this church in a mighty way, that in another 40 years, things would not be just doubled as the amount of people saved and given, but that it would be exponentially greater. Lord, you desire to do great and mighty things through our lives. Lord, help us tonight, today, Lord, not to quit, not to give up, not to be heartbroken or feeling like we haven't done anything. But Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus, we would take the promise of God this morning that whatever we do in the name of Jesus is never done in vain and that we will receive our reward. But Father, I pray that even more than that, Lord, that you would be exalted and lifted up, that you would be shown as King and Lord of all, Father. Lord, we pray for the pastors in this church, for Pastor Kurt, Lord, and for his wife, Father. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would guide and direct them, that, Lord, you would place in a powerful anointing upon their lives, Lord, that when they speak, that they would speak as the very mouthpiece of God, Lord, and you would flow by your Spirit to a mighty outpouring of God in this place. Lord, let it happen. Let it be, Lord, I ask. Let this place become a place of revival. Let this place become a place where sinners come and have found redemption and they've found a new life, Lord, because Jesus, you desire to reach out and touch people's lives in this place, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus for this community, for Batavia, Lord, that the power and the might of the Holy Spirit, that what's happening at Sanctuary, Lord, would infect and affect, Lord, this village and this town and the Fox Valley area, Lord. I pray that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would do that work in this place, that you would do that work in each one of in each heart, and as a body of believers, Lord, that you would be exalted over all. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just lift up your hand and just thank the Lord this morning?
Yes, Lord.
Just thank him. Thank him for his body, the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you very much for Again, Pastor Kurt, it's an honor to be able to be here and to preach from this pulpit. Thank you very much.
You know, I shared a few minutes ago about some of the great things that God has done in and through this ministry. But you want to know what's more exciting to me? The things that are yet to come. The message was perfect, I think, for this morning. Don't grow weary. Let God continue to use you. Let Him continue to work through you. Despite what this life brings you, let God be in control. Let Him lead you. I'm going to pray in just a second. Again, we're going to thank the Lord for such an incredible service, and we're going to end this time of our celebration together. But you all know you are invited to join us across the hall in our fellowship room, where we've got all kinds of food waiting for us over there. We can enjoy a meal together. We can share and talk together. We can visit. And we have one more special guest that's going to be sharing in the fellowship hall this morning, so you don't want to miss out on that. Lord, thank you so much again for this time together. Thank you for being in this place and allowing us to hear your word. And God, just thank you for all the blessings that you have done in and through this ministry over the years. And Lord, we look forward to years and years more of you working and moving and leading and training and teaching. God, we are excited about what lies ahead for this little place called Sanctuary. We ask for your anointing upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.